He also said I should bring the smoke. And I was like, why would I get high with you? You're so boring.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we are talking about Furiosa, a Mad Max saga with very little Mad Max. And we're going to spoil the shit out of it.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover. I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Molly Glover.
Ah, furious.
And Tim Wick.
Witness me.
And this week, we're going to talk about the latest in the Mad Max franchise, Furiosa, a Mad Max saga. It's a movie that just came out this year. It's been hitting the streaming platforms very recently.
It's a prequel.
It's a prequel to Fury Road. It's the backstory of the character Imperator Furiosa.
They should call it a Mad Max-less saga.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's we're gonna spoil it, and then we're probably gonna jump right into spoilers. So
like I just spoiled something. In that there's no Mad Max in this movie.
Hey, you want to know a really big spoiler for a Mad Max movie?
What's that?
This movie doesn't have any fucking cars in it, really.
Yeah,
I mean, there's like a couple. There's like one or two parts with like some desert chase action, but like
it's got a lot of motorcycles.
I mean,
I can't remember the last time I was so. Oh yes, I can. I was this bored watching Wonder Woman 84. That's about the last time I was this bored, because at least Wonder Woman 84 was so bad that I was like hate watching it to some degree. But this, I honestly fell asleep. I'll be honest. I fell asleep toward the end. I hate action scenes that are just car chases or just chase stuff. So like big portions of Mad Max aren't for me. I get that.
Yeah.
But like Fury Road was so good. I loved it so much.
It's the same reason you don't like Superman movies where he's just brawling. It's just invincible guys punching each other.
Yeah.
And
it just felt, I don't know, it felt like there were no stakes. It just felt very, I felt like I liked the kid Furiosa. The beginning stuff was interesting. And then it just, yeah, man.
Anya Taylor-Joy didn't really do much in the movie. I mean, like her character had things that she did. She participates in the story. She's the star of the story. But in terms of like acting, mostly she did a lot of silent emoting.
Yeah, she did a lot. Well,
I mean, that's what Mad Max does. So I mean, it's not so far off the off brand.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair. I you know what it is, Molly? You just don't like female led action movies.
That's it. I hate women led film franchises. No, I really wanted to like this movie. I was really excited to get to see it in the theater. I like Imperator Furiosa's character quite a bit and found her to be very intriguing. Was looking forward to learning more about, you know, her missing the arm and all this other stuff. And then I was just, I don't know. It didn't grab me. It didn't work for me. I would say out of 5 stars, I'd give it 2.5. I'm not a person who's like, oh, but the cinematography generally, like if the story isn't interesting, if it's not entertaining, it's a crime against movies to me.
Plus you're not like a huge Mad Max franchise fan.
No, I'm not a devout. Yeah. Yeah. So I like it. Fury Road is my favorite one. Before Fury Road, I would have said, I don't love Mad Max movies. I just think they're fine. Fury Road, I fucking loved.
Sure.
What did you guys think of it?
I liked it. So, hey, we get to not agree on everything.
Yeah.
And who knows? I mean, I didn't sit there and go, oh my God, it's not as good as Fury Road. I think Fury Road and Road Warrior are, you know, by leaps and bounds, the best Mad Max movies. I liked getting Furiosa's backstory. I liked Chris Hemsworth's complete psycho bad guy. I liked Chris Hemsworth being able to do his own actual like accent, which was kind of cool. I, you know, I'm not going to say, oh my God, this was a life changing movie for me, but I was never bored.
Dementis.
Yeah, I was never bored. So I had an opposite response in that I was always interested. I don't, like I say, I don't, Furiosa silently emoting is kind of, I mean, that's what Mad Max does for the bulk of the Mad Max movies. So it didn't feel off brand to me. It feels like, that's kind of what the lead in most Mad Max movies does. I don't know. So
I will say, reading through the plot summary on Wikipedia, which I did before recording this, made me realize I would enjoy reading a novelization of this movie. Oh. They still make those. Remember in the 90s, they were doing novelizations of every movie. You could read like Scent of a Woman, like in the book. It's basically just the movie.
They did that in the 80s as well, Molly. I realize that you're not old enough to remember that. But I read
books from the 80s. Oh, I am. I started reading very young, Tim, and I was born in the 70s. So like, but I would love to read that because, like, for one, the character names are fucking hilarious. Rictus Erectus. That's a hilarious fucking name. Yeah. That's fucking great. Scrotus the organic mechanic.
Scrotus and Rectus were Immortan Joe's sons' names.
And so, like, when I read through this plot summary that just kind of, like, you know, lets out the facts, like, that's actually kind of interesting to me. And I think maybe that is what I would enjoy more, is reading action as opposed to having to sit through action.
I think, is it Road Warrior? No, which Lord Humongous is Road Warrior, right?
I will look it up while bring up your point.
One of my favorite, like, there's lots of like crazy gang and individual names in Mad Max series, and I think they're fucking hilarious.
He's in Road Warrior.
Road Warrior, yep. Yeah. One of the groups of minions that Lord Humongous calls out when he's like sending out his goons is his gay boy berserkers.
Yeah.
Which are like a bunch of like post-apocalyptic leather daddies on motorcycles. And it's just like, and that was, you know, in the 80s or whatever, right? I love that aspect of this. Mm-hmm. And this had a lot of that for sure. It had a lot of wacky characters, mm-hmm. which, you know, you want that in a Mad Max movie.
Yeah. For me, it was like, Fury Road, I think the hard thing is Fury Road really kind of upped the ante on Mad Max in a lot of ways. It was balls to the wall action the whole way through, and yet there was character development, you know, with Max, with Furiosa, with the War Boy, you know, all these characters that you came to care about, and a villain that you wanted to watch die in some particularly grotesque and horrific way. And so Furiosa is a little bit, the stakes don't feel as high, right? I already like Furiosa. Mm-hmm. There's only one other character in the movie that I care about. That's the other Imperator, whose name I don't remember off the top of my head, because basically everybody else in this movie is an asshole.
Is that Jack? No, Jack's the guy the other Imperator.
The dude who drove the truck.
Is it? Yeah, Praetorian Jack.
Yeah,
Praetorian.
I liked the world details are like some of my favorite things in Mad Max. So like the history man that's following around Dementis, who's just like tattooed all over with dictionary words and like...
Right.
He's just like walking around and he'll just say a word that he feels applies to the situation and then like give the dictionary definition of the word as he goes. I liked that. I felt like that was like a funny, you know, from the before times shaman type guy.
Yeah. The dude who's like figured out how to make himself useful so they don't just kill him and throw him away.
Yeah. 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 He's also kind of seems like he serves as a hype man. Like he'll do something and then Dementis will do something. And then he'll be like, fortuitous. And then he'll give the definition of fortuitous or whatever. Like it kind of seemed like he was there to like punch up or emphasize the situation for him in a way that kind of you know, made him look more important or smarter or you know, I like that.
Apparently, the guy who played Max Rokitansky is the guy who was Tom Hardy's stunt double.
Oh,
in Fury Road.
Yeah, Max has like a cameo somewhere in the movie. I'm not even sure where he is.
Yeah.
His interceptor is like up on a cliff, and he's like putting gas in it or something like that. He's like standing outside his car as the chase is happening across the desert.
Right.
And so the camera just cuts to behind him watching the chase happening.
Yeah.
And then it just goes back to it.
I did think that might have been Max. I admit that I was like, oh, I wonder if that's just a Mad Max cameo right there. And
one of the things I do love about, if you want to have a little fun, read through the cast list, because they give character descriptions that you may not have realized. For example, Smeg is Dementis's henchman, dance proclaimer, and messenger. Was there a dance that I missed? Or what is dance proclaimer just something we didn't find out about in the movie? Or was I sleeping during that part?
I love it.
I don't remember any dancing, but that was like, yeah.
And then it's just like some of the other names, like Black Thumb is the mechanic.
Yep.
It's like, that makes sense. He's always, you know, working on oily machines and changing filters. And like, instead of a green thumb, someone that works on engines might be a black thumb. I get that kind of, that's kind of neat. I don't know. But I think the big disconnect for me story wise was the movie is told in five chapters.
Yeah. It's got the chapter thing going on.
And it's a long movie. It's got a long runtime.
We thought it was a lot shorter than it was. I think when we got there, Nick was like, oh, this is under 2 hours. And I was like, kick ass. I love a movie under 2 hours. And it was like, I think what maybe we misunderstood is it was under 3 hours.
Yeah. It's almost
like two hours and 38 minutes.
It was very long.
Something like that.
And
148 minutes.
And so that 2.5 hours is broken up into five chapters, and some of them are longer than the others. I feel like the ones towards the beginning are longer and the ones towards the end are shorter to maybe get some of that momentum. But those chapter breaks like that just felt like, it felt so episodic that it felt like maybe I would have enjoyed this more as a super high budget TV show.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, I can see that.
The pacing of it maybe was what getting in the way of me enjoying it as much as I
The pacing is why I fell asleep for sure.
I mean, I would watch a Furiosa TV show. If you did a Furiosa TV show starting when she captures Dementis and going up until basically the start of Fury Road, I'd be 100% down for that show.
The budget would be insane. No one could ever, I mean.
You couldn't do it.
No.
You couldn't do it.
But I watch it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I would be 100% down for that. I think, that's the problem with doing any kind of Mad Max TV show. And I will say that one of the things that watching Furiosa made me want to do is I want to go back and watch the other Mad Max films.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And start with the original Mad Max, which, you know, the original Mad Max is good for what it is and for how much money they had to make it and everything that.
Yeah.
You know, and then Road Warrior is basically when they were like, well, we want to do Mad Max again, but we were successful, so now we can actually spend money on it.
Like Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2.
I was just going to say that, actually, because it's almost the same. It's not the same movie, but it's not much different from the first one, right? But, like, in terms of plot.
I mean, the first one, you could barely tell it's a post-apocalyptic movie. It could fly under the radar. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're not like paying attention to every little thing they're saying, it's maybe right on the cusp of the apocalypse for them, for this world's plot line. The first one's slow as fuck too. I mean, it's
pretty slow.
Really,
they are very slow movies. I remember as a kid being like, oh God, cause they'd be on TV and it was just like, again, with the chases and the action, it's just not my bag. Generally,
is it a desert thing? Because I feel like it's a lot of movies of like, oh, they got to show the hero standing on the precipice of the desert, and like a wide panning camera shot to show the vastness and the hopeless weightlessness of lots of
Australia.
Foot, yeah, lots of feet on gravel and sand sound effects as they do stuff like Lawrence of Arabia, right? I feel like it's just a
Lawrence of Arabia thing. Only with cars that blow
basically,
up a lot.
Basically.
Yeah, and Beyond Thunderdome is just fucking crazy. Beyond Thunderdome is just fucking crazy. And then Fury Road is like
a masterpiece.
It's a great
really
movie.
It really is. I loved that movie. Like, genuinely wanted to see it again right away. Was just, I felt like every single person in that movie gave a command performance. And this just feels so lackluster compared to that, which it's impossible to not compare them. You know, and it, you can't be like, oh, but you should hold Furiosa up in its own right. It's like, no, I mean, I don't, it's literally
a prequel, my dude.
If I'm holding it up in its own right, it's worse. Then I really don't know what the fuck is happening.
I think maybe that's a good point for something else I hadn't considered. Everyone is more subtle in this one, and maybe that's like, sure, Max doesn't say a lot or have a lot of dialogue, and he's not always making decisions, right? He gets thrown into a lot of situations where he just kind of has to go with the flow, so it's easy to think of him as not so much of a character but an easy stand-in for the audience. I think maybe they were trying to accomplish that with Furiosa as well, but like, I mean, A, she's not Max. B, it starts when she's a child and goes through her adulthood. So I feel like it's a different situation where I would expect maybe a little bit more of a larger performance. Not performance, because it wasn't the actor's fault or anything, right? Just like they could have, I don't know, blown it up a little bit more or made it a little bit more reactive. Since this is so much a story of like her trauma and abduction and all that, I don't know.
I mean, and I'll counter and say that, you know, when I watched it, I felt like this was about Furiosa making her own decisions, right? That
sure,
pretty much every step along the way, she has a goal, right? Her goal is to.
And she's been trained to do that. I mean, that's one of the reasons I liked that initial part, is like, you see how they are. It's like, how are you? I like to see in post-apocalyptic movies, how are people surviving? What are these pockets and these little mini societies that have formed? How are they staying alive? And so her having like the star chart tattooed on her arm and then her losing that, very cool, right? Like her, you know, her being followed back to the garden and all that, like the way they were talking, like, what do you do when you get caught? What do you do? You know, you don't say a fucking word. You let anybody die. Like, most important is the society.
Yeah.
And I liked that. And then it just felt like it just devolved into another situation in which Furiosa was going to get raped, or like another situation in which like she had to worry about getting killed, which is like, sure. But after a while, there just isn't any more like tension about, I don't know, at the beginning there's just the tension of, oh, this place is going to get destroyed and these people and everything, and then it was just like misery porn, I guess to some degree.
What let me ask you two, how she gets the arm was kind of a big thing that they had to hit on in the movie, right?
Yeah.
I saw some people talking about it and talking about how fake and kind of dumb it looks, they said. I saw other people saying,
like, when it got removed or the arm she put on?
The arm she puts on and how it gets put on.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And I heard other people saying that, like, no, that's very Mad Max. It might be a little bit more like there's science going on behind the stuff that we can't see or aren't aware of than most Mad Max. Like, it's so brute force, low tech most of the time.
Sure.
Having like bionics that aren't just mechanical.
Yeah.
Seems like a bit of a stretch. How do you guys feel about that?
I don't know. To me, I'm in the camp of people being like, it seemed unclear or impossible, because it's been so like, we're like gasoline focused, you know, water is scarce. They got people, you know, nailing skulls to their jackets and, you know, decorating themselves with dead animals and bones and stuff, like, you know, huffing paint and things. I don't really see where you can just like magic up a fully, I mean, like that shit takes years. Those nerves take years to grow and train. Like your brain doesn't just instantly know how to use an arm. And like, if they're that advanced in technology before whatever happens, it just seems really unlikely that she just finds what she needs.
Yeah. So handily, as it were.
Yeah.
Tim, what do you think?
I didn't care. I thought it was fine.
Yeah.
I think if anything, the biggest problem that I have had was that she lost her arm so late in the film.
Yeah.
That there wasn't, by that point, it's like, oh, and now we're going to start the 40 days war. And the 40 days war is basically just, you know, a montage where, you know, damn, you could have done the whole movie on the 40 days war.
Right.
And, you know, in the meantime, she's figuring out how to put her arm together. And you're like, it's a long war and she's not doing shit in the war because she doesn't have an arm. And
sure.
So, you know, it's like, could she have mechanicked it up and figured out how to make that work in 40 days? Probably. I mean,
right.
Within the reality that we're creating, which is not a realistic reality, whatever. So, this is a little bit of willing suspension of disbelief on my part, but I don't know. It was kind of like, well, she has an arm like that. We know she does because we see it in the next movie. So
and she's making it. So yeah. Like, I mean, and yeah, it is a 40 days war. So I guess.
Yeah. I mean, like yeah. I say, I think the biggest problem was 40 days war sounds like, damn, I want to see what that was all about.
Yeah.
I want more than a montage. You know, another, that would be another great Mad Max TV series, the Mad Max 40 Days War. You could do that as an animated series. That would probably save some money.
I saw a still from an interview, like a touring to promote the movie interview with some of the cast members, Chris Hemsworth among them, and the, I don't know if this is from the interview or just text someone added as a funny joke, but the interviewer says like, oh, what was it like filming in Australia? And everyone, you know, Anya Taylor-Joy and everyone else like, oh, it's really, you know, it's unforgiving. It's really brutal. The sun, the sand, the elements are really rough out there. And it's Chris Hemsworth. And he's like, it's fucking great, mate. Like, he's all enthusiastic and unfazed by the hellscape continent island that they're shooting on.
Which, you know, it feels like Chris Hemsworth's been, oh, great, I get to shoot at home for once in my fucking life.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to talk.
Like Molly said, yeah.
Yeah.
I get to talk in my own voice. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought, and maybe I'm reading into the interview, but I thought Hemsworth was having a blast. That, you know,
he clearly had
him.
So much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't, because he doesn't get to play just unhinged villains, right? He's the handsome leading man. And it was, I thought he had a blast. And maybe that's one of the reasons I enjoyed it, because I just enjoyed watching Hemsworth chew scenery.
Mm-hmm.
I liked his chariot pulled by motorcycles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was fun. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know how that fucking works either, right? That makes no
right,
more
what
sense.
What happens
to me
when the motorcycle stops?
What? How do you steer properly? Yeah, like I don't.
What? Yeah, you saw him kind of steering, but I'm like, dude, if you're gonna be like getting into motorcycle fights and shit, this does not seem like a useful vehicle at all. But
how did she grow a peach tree from a peach pit when you have to like soak those in water for like?
Well, she's
a really long time.
Stoking it in her mouth for a year.
She does have it in her mouth, I suppose. Yeah. I suppose human saliva might have the same. It's fine. It's just such a, like, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like these details they put in because they're like, and then everyone's going to be like, oh, she grew a tree using his body as fertilizer to make the tree happen. And it's like, I don't know, man. Who's going to keep taking care of that tree? The tree needs more than one human body to keep it alive. It needs like watering and pruning. It's fine. That's fine. Like, whatever.
Well, we assume she did the watering and the pruning. I mean, if you're on a Morton Joe's good side, one thing you got is water.
I suppose that's true. That's true. She would have access maybe to water, maybe as one of his imperators.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any last thoughts? Any
it's fine.
Parting Wisdom.
If you're still listening and you haven't seen it, it's fine. I mean, I'm not, I don't want to be like, I hated it.
No.
I just thought it was kind of dull. Yeah. And maybe it's because we saw it at night and I got tired at night. I get tired in the dark once the sun goes down. So and I'm puppy tired still. So maybe it's that. Maybe I'll watch it again in a year and be like, oh, actually, this is way better than I remember. Who knows?
Yeah, well, we don't, not everybody needs to like things, you know?
Yeah.
It's fine. I enjoyed it. I had fun with it. I went to see it in the middle of the day. I went to see it on Father's Day, which is a weird day for me anyway, for lots of reasons. So it was, I went to see it as an escape from the weird day, and it worked for me. So I think... you know, it's on streaming. It's streaming now. It's probably going to be beyond Hulu or Netflix or Max or something like that.
I think. Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's worthwhile. And I definitely, I mean, it made me want to go back and watch the rest of the Mad Max films, which I guess is never a bad thing.
Yeah, yeah.
They I won't lie, like at least a small part of my interest or enthusiasm to see it in the theater was because George Miller has been talking in interviews about the next Mad Max movie he wants to do. And he said that, you know, how soon he gets to do that and when he gets to do that is partially contingent upon how well Furiosa does. And I, you know, as much as my 50 cents of profit or whatever it is they make on that, and we didn't see it opening weekend or anything, so it matters even less.
Oh, yeah, but this is considered a box office bomb, by the way, because it only earned $160 million, and it cost $168 million. So
that's profit you're talking, though.
Gross. The gross was $160 million.
Oh.
And the cost to make it was $168. They lost $8 million as of right now, so it's considered a box office flop.
They'll make it back, of course. They will get that last $8 million.
It's a very expensive movie to not make your nut back in the theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Is anything making its money back in the theaters?
I mean, a lot of stuff is not doing well in theaters right now.
Yes, if you're not spending $168 million, you're probably making your money back. Like in, I imagine smaller films or films that are shot with lower budgets or,
like,
you know.
The Marvels, did that, I know people talk about that being a flop. Did that make its money back in the theaters?
Or, I think it did.
Yeah.
I think it did.
Part of me wants to know how it cost that much, genuinely. Like, I mean, I, because it didn't seem like there were a lot of special effects. There's a lot of practical stuff. Unless there's way a ton of special effects I didn't realize, or like the cost of, I don't know, the gasoline, maybe that was expensive.
They got to make all those vehicles and
sure.
Shooting on location.
Wrecking cars ain't cheap, Molly.
I'm not saying I know anything about what it costs to make
a
movie. I just
$2 million on black face paint and white face paint alone. So, yeah. Anyway,
awesome.
Mad Max Saga. Furiosa.
Rawr.
We saw it. We talked about it.
Witness us.
Opinions.
Yes. Witness our review.
Let us know. We will be back next week with more geeky, godless fun. I think does this go up before Convergence?
Yes, it does.
We'll see you at Convergence.
Yeah.
See you at Convergence.
Yeah.
Next weekend.
Convergence is a little over a week away when you're listening to this episode.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, damn. All right, everybody. Have a great week.
Bye.
Bye. Witness me. Hey, you, Molly, wake up and witness me.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
There's a shit ton of stuff in my junk folder.